I don't stand on pomp and circumstance. Please have a seat. Please sit down. Please sit down. Take your place. Be happy. Be safe. Be secure. In the word of our Lord. I go by a lot of names. My name, by degree, by ordination, I'm Reverend Father Mark Black. I have a master's in divinity, working on my way toward my doctorate.
Amen.
And y'all, and see me on the street, y'all can call me Mark, y'all call me whatever. Just call me in my name, don't call me out of it. That's all I ask. I want to thank the members, the visitors, and especially Pastor Dovin for allowing me to come here and spread God's word all the way from the great state of New York. So, I may speak fast, so if I do, y'all just need to listen a little faster. That's all I'm going to say. But I want to thank y'all for being here today. I see that I might be a little over or underdressed. I can't tell. But let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you as humble as we know how, Lord God. We want to thank you for another day filled with your mercy and your grace, Lord God. We ask for your blessings on our lives, yes, our families, and our hearts. Yes. We ask, Lord God, that you guide us with your Holy Spirit. Yes, strengthen Lord. Our faith, yes, and help us to walk in your will, Almighty God.
Yes.
All this we ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So like I said, good morning, my brothers and sisters, to another day that the Lord has given us. I don't know. It's going to be kind of hard for me to follow everything that's been going on. I'm hoping that I live up to the music, the pastor, and for y'all getting out of bed this morning to come up over here. Y'all talked about the rain, and it was just pouring rain just now as I looked out the door.
The storm, yes.
The storm is here, but we'll weather through it. Thank God and thank the Lord.
Amen.
Now, before I start, I want to let y'all know that I'm an Anglican priest. I've been an Anglican priest for a number of years, I'm going to say a number of years. I've been in my home church, or at least in the denomination, for the last 27 years.
Uh-huh.
But I'm an Anglican, which is, y'all probably know it more as an Episcopalian. I've been a minister up in there for a while, but I went to a Pentecostal and Baptist seminary. So what's good about being here, Lord God, is that I didn't come to deliver a dead word.
Mm-hmm.
I came to deliver a living word from a living God in a living church with living people. Amen?
Amen.
So I might get a little bit more filth than y'all, being that I've been oppressed by having to deliver to a group that's not as lively.
Amen.
So bear with me, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, there's going to be a couple of little tests throughout the message. It's nothing hard, nothing that y'all know. Because from what I know about Pastor Torres, she taught y'all. And the purpose of anybody coming up in here as primary is that you may preach, but you're a teacher. And you're supposed to teach. You're supposed to leave from here at the end of the day with you learned something. And I want to let y'all know that the 500 miles that I came to get up over here, I came to give you some life.
Amen.
What you take from it is what you take from it. Because I'm bringing you to God's living water.
Amen.
It's up to y'all to drink.
Amen.
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 So that's what we're going to do today.
Amen. Amen.
Now, in the Catholic Anglo liturgy, we go through what's called seasons. the seasons of Trinity, the seasons of Advent. So last Sunday was the fourth Sunday in Advent, and we heard the voice of John the Baptist tell us that I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Or the way of the Lord. My bad. Throughout the four Sundays that lead up in Advent, that lead up to Christmas, mm-hmm. our attention was on the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. In the past, you too might have felt like you were crying out in the wilderness right next to John the Baptist.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you went through pain in your life, anguish, stress, hardships. You trying to say my mouth ain't big enough? You might have sensed that the prayers that you were given just weren't quite being heard by the Lord. That things weren't falling into place. That our messages, what we want, the hopes and prayers, mm-hmm. just weren't being heard, and they weren't going to be answered because they weren't being heard. But I want to let you know.
Come on.
I want to let you know that the Lord our God hears us.
Amen. Yes.
He hears each and every word coming from us.
Yes, he does.
And he speaks to us
quietly,
calmly, and sometimes in that whisper of the wind. That says, fear not. I'm with who? I'm with you.
Amen.
Now we're in Christmas time, and our focus shifts to God. Mm-hmm. And it shows that God loves us.
Amen.
And that he's with us. Because we're told, in the beginning was the Word.
Amen.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was what?
With God.
And the Word was God.
Don't be afraid.
You say it if you know it. And even if you don't, you ain't never wrong.
Amen.
And the Word became flesh. And what did it do?
Dwell.
It dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Amen.
The nativity, which is the birth of Jesus. Is God doing what? God becoming man so that we can be drawn closer to a living, holy and mighty God. Amen?
Amen.
I want to ask y'all a question. It's one of them. It's simple, but it's a little bit complex. So take your time in answering it. Like I said, it's Christmas time. But what exactly is Christmas? What is Christmas? Okay. We'll go with the birth of Christ. Yes, it's always on the 25th day of December. It's a time that you do what?
Celebrate.
You celebrate his birth. The kids receive presents. The grandkids, they're happy. They're joyful for the 5 minutes that they're playing with it. Before they want something else. No, you in my house on the wall? You don't fly on the wall? Because that's the way it must be. Saying they ain't got enough. Or you take them to the store and they got what they wanted, but it just ain't what they wanted 10 minutes later.
Come on.
Shoot.
Amen.
Christmas is a time when God showed his love for us. We all know that on Christmas Day, over 2,000 years ago, our Lord and Savior was born. Amen?
Amen.
Because of his birth, we were given a second chance.
Yes. Hallelujah.
A second chance at redemption and reconciliation.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus was born. See, we don't have that. Yeah, we got an organ, but we ain't playing that. Ooh, I feel supported, uplifted.
Amen.
Jesus was born so that we could be reunited with God the Father through the ultimate of sacrifices.
Amen.
And what was that? Jesus' own life given for us.
Yes. Easter. Amen.
Not yet. A little lap of Easter, then we'll get there. Jesus' life was given up to us on that faithful day. Amen. In Calvary. Yes. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me slow this down, because that's all talk about an adult Jesus. I want to talk to y'all about Christmas, which is the birth of a baby Jesus. Instead of telling y'all all about the great, wonderful, mighty, and glorious things that Jesus gave to us by being born and eventually dying, I want to do something just a little bit different. Just a little bit different, my brothers and sisters. I want to tell y'all about a movie that I saw. It came out in 1946 that sets up a scenario for the rest of my message to y'all. It comes on TV every now and again, usually around Christmas time, and it's called It's a Wonderful Life. Uh-huh. Now, by a show of hands, who's seen it? Yeah. Okay, so I'm not the only seasoned person up here. Okay. I thought it was just me. I know, right? Now, I like the movie. But it's a sad movie, almost from the very beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the beginning, I think there's a happy moment when they're giving you, like, the credits, you know, telling you who's going to be in it. Then after that, it kind of goes, like, downhill. But it's still a good movie. It's about, let me tell y'all about it. It's about the life of a man by the name of George Bailey. Through a series of unfortunate events, George is placed in a situation where he might go to jail because, all right, I'm gonna give y'all a little bit of it. Money disappeared. Mm-hmm. Somebody took it. And that money was important to the family business. So he might go to jail because of it. And on top of that, the family business was already hanging on a wire. Mm-hmm. So he might lose the family business on top of all of that. And so because of that, he lashes out at his wife, at his kids, at people he's knew all his life, because he's frustrated. He's upset. And with all of those things going on, left, right, center, and hitting them all at the same time. Uh-huh. And there doesn't seem to be an end, because every other second he's getting hit with some bad news. George thinks about the only thing that he can do, and that's to go up in there and kill himself. So he decides he's going to go up to the bridge in town and jump into the river. And just when he's about to jump, he hears a splash. Mm-hmm. And he looks over there, and he sees somebody else beat him to the punch. Somebody else jumped up in there. So he's a helpful soul. So he didn't think anything about himself. He jumped up in that water.
Yes.
To go save that man.
Yes.
The person's name was Clarence. Uh-huh. And Clarence was an angel. Clarence had one purpose.
One purpose.
And that purpose was to go up in there and help George. Give George a purpose in life. And the only reason that he could think about was to show George how important he was in this world. And the only way he could do that was showing him what the world would be like if he wasn't there. Amen. So what he did was take him out the picture. He didn't kill him. He just erased him from the picture. George had never been born. Now, to say that that was a shock would be putting it a little bit lightly. What happened was no one knew him. He didn't live. He didn't exist. His wife didn't know him. There were no children because he didn't live. His mother, who had birthed him, who went through those 9 months, didn't know him. No one knew him. See, as we watched the movie, we realized just how much of an impact that that one man had on the lives of the people who lived in that town of Bedford Falls.
Jesus.
And there was one line that sticks to me. I don't remember anything else in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But that one line is what I want to draw your attention to.
Okay.
It says, each man's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he? Now, after seeing that movie, I realized that George wasn't an island. He wasn't by and about himself. Because the things that he did in life mattered. They mattered in the grand scheme of the picture. Not only in the details, but the big picture. When Clarence took him out of the picture, a lot of things had changed. Other than just people not knowing him. The town that he had spent his whole life in, I mean his whole life, became destitute. It became equivalent to a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. We're talking about there were bars all over the place.
My Lord.
Clubs. There were signs. We're talking about signs that had lights around them that said fight. Because you can go into these places just to fight.
Mm.
Now that's a big difference from the town that he had helped build, that wholesome town called Bedford Falls. Because George was an influential person. He spent his whole life up until that moment when he was non-existent. And then poof, he didn't exist. And then everything changed, not for the better, but for the worse. You see, the same applies to us in terms of our lives. Would you believe that if we touched, just for the sake of a round number, 10 people in a day, that's a lot. Now, I'm using 10 just for a round number. I wasn't great at math, so it makes it easy for me to add down the line. After all those math classes I took, we'll overlook that part. But let's pick that. A person goes through the course of their day meeting 10 people. How many days in a year?
365, sometimes 66.
Nope, we ain't gonna count leap year. Let's not throw my numbers off, my man.
Okay.
365. Now, if you meet 10 people in a day, over every day, that's 3,650 people. Now, let's say you live for 60 years, meeting a new group of people every day.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about 219,000 people in the course of 60 years. That's you. We're not talking about each and every person you're meeting and who they touch in their 10, you know, their 10 people per day. We come across a lot of people in the course of our lives. We make a difference.
Yes.
So now we're going to do a little bit of replacement. Let's replace George Bailey with Jesus Christ. And let's replace Bedford Falls with Bethlehem.
Amen.
I'm hoping y'all can see where I'm going with this.
Yes.
All right. All right. Now, what if Jesus had made a different choice in his life after he was born? I mean, really, what if once he started to go through the trials and tribulations that and all the troubles that were so rudely and unceremoniously dropped on his lap? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What if he decided he just wasn't going to deal with it?
Non-existent.
Well, we'd be here. We'd be in the fight club or at the bar.
Yeah.
Better yet, I got a better one for you. Based upon that movie, what would the world be like if Jesus hadn't been born? What would we have lost? Really, what would we have lost? Exactly. Well, I'm going to give y'all four things, but we know that there's a whole bunch of other things that we would have lost. The first thing we would have lost would be salvation. Because there just wouldn't be any of that. There'd be no reconciliation with the Father. You see, we were full of sin back then, and it isn't something that back then, and it isn't something now that's just going to disappear. Amen? It put a wall between us and God the Father.
Yes, yes.
And God's, that wall would have been insurmountable. There'd be no way to get over it. Amen.
Amen.
Next test. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your what?
Mouth.
That Jesus is what?
Lord.
And believe in your heart that God raised him from where?
The dead.
You will be what?
Saved.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't believe in Jesus. You can't believe in him if he doesn't exist.
Amen.
You see, belief in Jesus offers us salvation.
Amen.
His life and his death and everything in between was the much needed key to open that door to salvation.
Amen.
After Jesus was born, an angel appeared to a group of shepherds that near Bethlehem. And he said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, NIV. I need you to know that salvation comes from and through the belief in Jesus, and that's something that since Jesus wouldn't have been born, it's something that we wouldn't have had.
Amen.
The second thing that we would have lost would have been our intercessor. If Jesus hadn't been born, there wouldn't be a mediator.
Come on.
Between God and man.
Yeah. Yeah. Glory. Yes.
Jesus tells us.
Yes.
In John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the
light.
And the light.
Yeah.
No one comes to the Father except through who?
Me, Jesus.
Exactly, me. With Jesus' death, the barrier between God and man is something that we wouldn't be able to overcome.
Come on, that's right.
The death of Jesus, like I said, was the key. It was the key to open that locked door to salvation for all who believed in him. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 tells us, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." Amen?
Amen.
Without Jesus being our intercessor, our mediator, our intermediary, and all those other words that stand for in between.
Come on now.
We would be destined to spend a life not in the light,
come on,
in darkness,
but in the darkness.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Forever separated by sin from the Father.
Yes.
But we're lucky because the light of the world was made flesh on that fateful night in Bethlehem.
Hallelujah.
His light shined through the darkness. Amen. Amen. And became a beacon in order to guide us toward that much needed salvation like a moth to a flame.
Yes.
The third thing that we would have lost was our access to the Holy Spirit and the gifts. Because remember, if Jesus wasn't here, he couldn't leave. He couldn't make way for the Comforter.
That's right.
If Jesus had been born, died, and ascended into heaven, how could a way be prepared? Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit wouldn't have come to fill us with the Spirit and love of God.
Yes.
And all the gifts that we get from the Spirit to make us productive members of society and productive in the lives that we live.
Amen.
We wouldn't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit to guide us through all the trials and tribulations that were in the world, both then and now.
Come on with it. Amen.
Because the Comforter wouldn't come. John 14 and 26, John 15 and 26, and John 16, 7. We would only have the darkness of dread that comes from, how they say, gray skies and gloomy nights.
Storms.
If Jesus had been born, we would have no salvation from sin and no mediator between us and God the Father.
Amen.
Because I can't say that enough.
Yes.
Amen.
If Jesus hadn't been born and eventually died, you and I wouldn't have access to love, joy,
come on,
peace,
yes,
patience,
come on,
kindness,
yes,
and all the other gifts that we receive.
Yes.
If Jesus hadn't been born, we wouldn't have access to be able to be that one step closer to being godly in spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the fourth thing that we would have lost had Jesus not been born would have been our redemption. The Bible has shown time and time and time again that the wages of sin is what?
Death.
But the gift of God is what?
Eternal life. Hallelujah.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
With his birth and his death, that stain of that original sin was removed from our lives.
Come on. Yes. Amen.
Since the price of sin was death, then redemption. Redemption required a cost to be paid.
Yes.
Amen.
He paid a price we could not pay.
Amen.
And it was paid in full.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen. We need to thank God because through the birth of Jesus Christ, we were given a second chance to be back in union with God the Father.
Yes.
Through the birth, life, and death of Jesus Christ, all things are once again possible and available to us.
Amen.
Through faith in Jesus Christ, we were given a chance to be with God again.
Yes, amen.
And to me, and I hope to y'all, I hope y'all realize that is the greatest Christmas gift that we could ever, ever have.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Now, I want y'all to repeat after me. Y'all ready? I'm going to say it slow because us New Yorkers talk quick. Thank you, Jesus,
for
all that you've given me.
For all that you've given me.
By being born in the flesh.
By being born in the flesh.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. I had my glasses on. Can y'all say that again? One more time, please. Oh, I got to give it to y'all again. See?
Thank you,
we are not followers.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're future leaders. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For being born. In the flesh.
In the flesh.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, when I got my glasses off, y'all got to speak louder. I couldn't hear it. The glasses thing.
Jesus.
on, in the flesh.
Don't be afraid.
Thank you, Jesus, for being born in the flesh. For me.
For me. There you go.
For me.
I can't speak.
See, I don't.
For me.
I don't think that anyone could ever, and I mean ever, begin to understand how good our lives are until we consider how much more difficult, darker, disappointing, and I need one more D, disastrous. Let's go with that one. It would have been without Jesus.
Amen.
Without Jesus in the world, and more importantly, in our lives.
Amen.
I can only imagine how challenging it would be for people to find hope, how difficult it would be for them to be in fellowship with God again, or at all, and most definitely how hard it would be for them to escape a life that is shattered and broken by sin.
Amen.
All of this, though, thank God, is only a scary fantasy. It's only a fantasy. Because our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was born.
Yes.
He was born.
Amen.
On that fateful night. Yes. And with him, that promise of salvation from God the Father, all who believe in him, is available.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
That's the greatest gift that was given that night to everyone in the world. Yes. Both then and now.
And now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes.
So my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes.
I hope and pray that during this glorious time,
yes,
of our Lord and Savior's birth, you and all the others that touch your lives will be filled with thanksgiving for all that was given us over 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Because of that birth.
Yes.
On that faithful night.
Yes.
Under that bright, bright, bright star.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I know that the pastor usually does this, but I kind of ask it to her and I feel kind of funny, but if you don't mind, I'll do the invitation. Like I said in the beginning, I want to thank everybody here for letting me come and deliver a word to y'all.
Amen.
But I especially want to thank Pastor Dolvine for allowing me into God's house.
Amen.
Here
amen.
At God's True Love Ministry. Amen. And allowing me to deliver God's word to y'all. So with that in mind, I want to ask all of you who are visitors today, that if you don't have a church home, but are looking for one, and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and really and truly and earnestly wish to invite Jesus Christ into your lives, into your hearts, into your soul as your personal Lord and Savior, then I want to offer you that opportunity to become a member of God's True Word Ministry. I ask that you step forward before the altar here, or before the pulpit, before the dais, and receive the right hand of fellowship from the pastor and the brothers and sisters of this beautiful church.
Amen.
And again, I want to thank y'all for being here today.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.